Section 3A Call to Self-Examination. Let this doctrine put all upon examining themselves, whether they do not allow themselves in known wickedness. You are such as do enjoy the ordinances of divine worship. You come into the holy presence of God, attending on those ordinances, which God, by sacred authority, hath hallowed and set apart, that in them we might have immediate intercourse with Himself. That we might worship and adore Him, and express to Him humble, holy, supreme respect. And that in them we might receive immediate communications from Him. Here you come and speak to God, pretending to express your sense how glorious He is, and how worthy that you should fear and love Him, humble yourselves before Him, devote yourselves to Him, obey Him, and have a greater respect to His commands and to His honor, than to any temporal interest, ease, or pleasure of your own. Here you pretend before God, that you are sensible how unworthily you have done by sins committed in times past, and that you have a great desire not to do the like in time to come. You pretend to confess your sins, and to humble yourselves for them. Here you pray that God would give you His Spirit to assist you against sin, to keep you from the commission of it, enable you to overcome temptations, and help you to walk holily in all your conversation, as though you really had a great desire to avoid such sins as you have been guilty of in time past. And the like pretenses you have made in your attendance upon the other ordinances, as in hearing the word, in singing praise, etc. But consider whether you do not horribly defile and profane the public prayers and other ordinances. Notwithstanding all your pretenses, and what you seem to hold forth by your attendance on them, do you not all the while live in known wickedness against God? For all your pretenses of respect to God, of humiliation for sin, and desires to avoid it, have you not come directly from the allowed practice of known sin to God's ordinances, and did not at all repent of what you had done, nor at all sorry for it at the very time when you stood before God, making these pretenses, and even had no design of reformation, but intended to return to the same practice again after your departure from the presence of God? I say, hath not this, on many occasions, been your manner of coming and attending on the ordinances of divine worship? Not only so, but is it not still your manner, your common way of attending upon these ordinances, even to this very day? Do you not lie to God with your tongues, when you pretend that He is a great God and that you are poor, guilty, unworthy creatures, deserving His wrath by the sins of which you have been guilty? And when you pretend that you earnestly desire He would keep you from the like for time to come, are you not guilty of horrid mockery of God in it, when at the same time you design no such thing, but the contrary? Do you not even the same day that you come into God's house, and to His ordinances, allow yourselves in known sins? Do you not with consent and approbation think of the sinful practices, in which you allow yourselves, and in which you have been exercising yourselves in the week past? Do you not the very day in which you attend ordinances, allowedly please and gratify a wicked imagination? And are you not then perpetrating wickedness in your thoughts, and contriving the further fulfillment of your wickedness? Yea, are you not guilty of these things sometimes even in the very time of your attendance on ordinances, when you are in the immediate presence of God? And while others have immediate intercourse with God, and you likewise pretend to the same? Do you not, even in these circumstances, allow yourselves in wicked thoughts and imaginations, voluntarily wallowing in known wickedness? Are not some of you guilty of allowedly breaking God's holy Sabbath, in maintaining no government of your thoughts, thinking indifferently about anything that comes next to mind? And not only thinking, but talking too about common, worldly affairs? And sometimes talking in such a manner, as is not suitable even on other days. Talking profanely, or in an unclear manner, sporting and diverting yourselves in such conversation of God's holy day? Yea, it is well if some have not been thus guilty in the very time of attendance on the ordinances of worship. Examine yourselves, how it hath been with you. You all attend many of the ordinances of divine worship. You come to the house of God, attend public prayers, singing, and preaching of the word. And many of you come to the Lord's Supper, that holy ordinance, instituted for the special commemoration of the greatest and most wonderful of all divine acts towards mankind. For the special and visible representation of the most glorious and wonderful things of our religion. for the most solemn profession and renewal of your engagement to God, and for special communion with Jesus Christ. Let such examine themselves whether they do not allow themselves in known sin to the horrid profanation and pollution of this most sacred ordinance. Examine and see whether you do not allow yourselves in some way of dealing with your fellow men, which you have sufficient light to know to be evil, or whether you do not allow yourselves in a known evil behavior towards some person or persons of the families to which you respectively belong, as towards your husbands, your wives, your children, or servants, or your neighbors, in your spirit and behavior towards them, or in your talk of them. Examine whether you do not some way willingly indulge in unclean appetite, in less or grosser acts of uncleanness, or in your discourse, or in your imagination. Or do you not give way to a lust after strong drink, or indulge yourselves in some vicious excess in gratifying some sensual appetite in meat or drink, or otherwise? Are you not willingly guilty of vanity and extravagance in your conversation? Do you not, for all your attendance on ordinances, continue in the allowed neglect of your precious souls, neglecting secret prayer or some known duty of private religion? Or do you not allow yourselves in Sabbath breaking? In all these ways are the ordinances of God's sacred worship polluted and profaned. Men are apt to act very treacherously and perversely in the matter of self-examination. When they are put upon examining themselves, they very often decline it, and will not enter into any serious examination of themselves at all. The here uses of examination insisted on, but put them off to others, and never seriously apply them to themselves. And if they do examine themselves, when they are put upon it, they are exceedingly partial to themselves. They spare themselves. They do not search, and look, and pass a judgment according to truth, but so as unreasonably to favor and justify themselves, if they can be brought to examine themselves at all, whether they do not allow themselves in known wickedness, although they attend on divine ordinances, they will not do it impartially. Their endeavor will not be indeed to know the truth of their ease, and to give a true answer to their consciences, but to blind themselves, to persuade and flatter themselves that they do not allow themselves in known sin, whether it be true or not. There are two things especially wherein persons often act very perversely and falsely in this matter. 1. Persons very often deal very perversely in pretending that the sins in which they live are not known sins. Nothing is more common, surely, than for persons to flatter themselves with this concerning the wickedness in which they live. Let that wickedness be almost what it may, they will plead to their consciences, and endeavor to still them, that there is no evil in it, or that they do not know that there is any evil in it. Men's own consciences can best tell how they are wont to do in this matter. There is hardly any kind of wickedness that men commit, but they will plead thus in excuse for it. They will plead thus about their cheating and injustice, about their hatred of their neighbors, about their evil speaking, about their revengeful spirit, about their excessive drinking, about their lying, their neglect of secret prayer, their lasciviousness, their unclean dalliances. Yea, they will plead excuses for very gross acts of uncleanness, as fornication, adultery, and what not. They have their vain excuses and carnal reasonings in favor of all their evil actions. They will say, what harm, what evil is there in such and such an action? And if there be a plain rule against it, yet they will plead that their circumstances are peculiar, and that they are accepted from the general rule, that their temptation is so great, that they are excusable. Or something will they find to plead. If it be something upon which their lust are much set, and about which they feel remorse of conscience, they will never leave studying and contriving with all the art and subtlety of which they are masters, till they shall have found out some reason, some excuse, with which they shall be able in some measure to quiet their consciences. And whether after all they shall have made it out to blind conscience or not, yet they will plead that their argument is good, and it is no sin. Or if it be a sin, it is only a sin of ignorance. So men will plead for the wickedness which they do in the dark. So without doubt some very gross sinners plead to their consciences, as would appear, if we could but look into their hearts. When indeed the strongest argument they have, that is such a thing there is no evil, is the strongest lust they have to it, the inordinate desire they have to commit it. It was the saying of one, Lacidus Paramus Oms. That is, we all perish by lawful things. Which is as much as to say, men commonly lie wickedly and go to hell, in those ways which they flatter themselves to be lawful, or at least they flatter themselves that they are sons of ignorance. They do not know them to be unlawful. Thus, I make no doubt some will be apt to do, in applying to themselves this use of examination, if they can be persuaded to apply it to themselves at all. Whether these things be true of you, let your own consciences speak, you that neglect secret prayer. You that live in secret, unclean, lascivious actions. You that indulge in inordinate appetite for strong drink. You that defraud or oppress others. You that indulge a spirit of revenge and hatred towards your neighbor. Here I desire you to consider two or three things. 1. Not all sins, which one knows not with a certain knowledge to be sinful, are justly called sins of ignorance. Men often will excuse themselves for venturing upon a sinful action or a practice, with this, that they know not that it is sinful. Which is at most true no otherwise, than as they do not know it to be sinful with a certain knowledge, or with the evidence of absolute demonstration. Although at the same time it is a sin against their light, and against great light. They have been so taught, that they have had light enough to make them sensible that it is displeasing to God, and not warranted or allowed by Him. And they do in their consciences think it to be sinful. They are secretly convinced of it, however they may pretend the contrary, and labor to deceive themselves, and to persuade themselves that they do not think there is any evil in it. Those sins which are contrary to sufficient information and instruction, and contrary to the real dictates of their own consciences, or to the judgment of their own minds. Whether there be certain or demonstrative knowledge or no. These are what I would be understood to mean, when I speak of known sins. Such light as this, whether there be absolutely certain knowledge or no, is sufficient to render the action utterly inexcusable, and to render it, when allowed, a horrible profanation and pollution of the holy ordinances of God too. It is in vain for persons to pretend that those are sins of ignorance, which they have often and clearly heard testified against from the Word of God. It will be found to be so at last. It will be found to be a vain thing for persons who have lived under the light of the gospel, and where all manner of iniquity is testified against, if they live in immoral and vicious practices, to pretend that they are sins of ignorance. Unless the case be very peculiar and extraordinary. 3. It is in vain for you to pretend that those are sins of ignorance, of which you would not dare to proceed in the practice, if you knew that your soul was to be required of you this night. Persons do many things, for which they plead, and pretend they think there is no evil in them, who yet would as soon eat fire, as do the same, if they knew that they were to stand before the judgment seat of Christ within 24 hours. This shows that persons do but prevaricate, when they pretend that their sins are sins of ignorance. 2. Another way wherein men deal falsely and perversely in this matter, is, in pretending that they do not allow themselves in those sins which they practice. They either pretend that they know them not to be sins, or if they cannot but own that, then they will say, they do not allow themselves in them. And so they hope God is not very much provoked by them. They pretend this, though they make a trade of them, they go on repeating one act after another, without ever seriously repenting or past, or resolving against future acts. But take heed that you do not deceive yourselves in this matter. For such pretenses, however they do something towards stilling your consciences now, will do nothing when you come to stand before your righteous and holy judge.